Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
Anyway, very good evening to all of you. And we are at our last service of the year. You know, time passes so fast. I don't know if you realize this, but when you get older, time goes faster, right? But for you guys, do you remember that this year has gone by really fast? I mean, it's like SG50, right? The next time this coming around is in 50 more years, SG100. So here we are, and I thought that at the end of this year, there are a couple of things that I really want to say to you, and I feel that God really wants to say these things to you. So I want you to listen very carefully, all right? Because, you know, this being the year of Jubilee, there are a couple of things we want to understand about what Jubilee really means. And actually, that has a really important message within this Jubilee, which I believe God wants to give to you today, okay? So if you have your Bibles, you turn with me to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. And the reason why we are turning to this chapter is because, you see, in the Bible, you know, we know the fourth commandment. Anyone here knows what the fourth commandment is? Anyone knows this? Anyone at all? Just kind of wave your hands if you know. And how many commandments are there? 10, right? You know what's the first commandment? No. Okay, hold on. The fourth commandment. Okay, it has to do with a particular day. You shall keep the Sabbath holy, right? So, why does God give us this strange commandment? And what's the relevance of this? Because you see, every Jubilee is in fact a Sabbath, right? Every Jubilee, every 7 years, there's a sabbatical year in which you're supposed to do no work. And then, you know, after seven years, you've got 49 years, right? And on the 50th year, which is like a year like this, is also a year of Sabbath, a year of Jubilee, if you like. So today I want to talk a little bit about, you know, why does God give us these rather strange and, you know, a little bit odd commands and what that's got to do with you. So in Exodus chapter 16 was the very first time Sabbath was practiced by the people, the children of Israel. And if you look at this, there are some really, really important lessons, okay? So the background of this thing is that the children of Israel were complaining. That was their national pastime. They love complaining. They're always complaining about the weather, the water. They're complaining about the food. And in this particular case, they're complaining because they didn't like the food, right? They were actually very hungry. So let me just read to you from verse 3. And the children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, and when we ate bread to the full. For you brought us out into this wilderness to kill us, kill this whole assembly with hunger." Okay, so they were hungry, like me kind of now, right? Hungry people were angry people. And they were complaining to Moses and Aaron because they said, you know, back in Egypt, God delivered them out of Egypt. Well, we were slaves, but then again, you know, we had pots of meat and we could eat bread. But look at us out here, we are free, but we are hungry, right? So they were really very unhappy. They were complaining. They were not just complaining to Moses, they're complaining about God, okay? So the Lord, God answers. You know, God hears your complaints. Do you realize this? When you complain, do you know that God hears? How many of you think God hears your complaints? Some of you think you don't know, right? You go to heaven. God opens up this file, okay? That's this thick, and this will be like John, okay? John, okay. I'm just making up this name, right? But there'll be all these complaints. God hears your complaints. He actually records it, right? So anyway, He answers, and this is what He says: "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you." Okay, I'm going to send bread from heaven on you guys. Actually, rain it down. It's like boop, 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 boop. Okay, so, you know, he's thinking about that. "And the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not." Verse 5. "And it shall be on the sixth day they shall prepare what they bring in, and it will be twice as much as they gather daily." Okay, just kind of see whether you're following this, right? So God is going to rain bread. And every day, they're going to go out and collect bread, right? Every day, they'll collect the bread, but on the sixth day, they'll collect how much? Twice as many. Why do you suppose this is the case? Because on the seventh day, no bread raining, right? Okay? So that's what basically this is talking about. I'm going to fast forward because the children of Israel complained some more. Okay, I'm going to skip all that stuff. Get to verse 12. And I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them saying, at twilight, meaning evening, right? You shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God. Okay, so God makes this promise to them, say, look guys, I've heard your complaints, right? I know you're hungry. Well, I'm going to make sure in the evening you will have meat, and in the morning you will have bread. Now, I don't know about you, okay? I mean, if someone came and told you this, you might go like, you know, I'm seriously, right? Rain bread, never heard of such a thing before. Rain frogs, maybe, you know, I mean, but rain bread, never heard of it. It has to be baked somewhere up there. So anyway, you know, God says, I'm going to do this, right? And so verse 13, it says, and so it was that quails came up at evening and covered the camp. Now, you know what's a quail, right? You know, right? Anyone know what a quail is? Right? Okay, it's like a kind of bird. So in evening, all these birds came. I guess they had turkey for Christmas, right? So there are all these quails, and they caught the animals, and they ate the bird. They had meat in the evening. And in the morning, dew lay all around the camp. Now, you know when I read this thing, the first thing, I know my mind is a bit twisted. I read, and in the quails came up and covered the camp. In the morning, dew was all over the camp. I was thinking, could this be quail droppings, you know? I don't know why my brain works like that, but it's covered the camp. Actually, it's not, okay? So, there was like a mist covering the whole camp. Verse 14, when the layer of dew was lifted, when the mist kind of cleared, on the surface of the wilderness was small, round substance, as fine as the frost on the ground. I assure you, this is not quail droppings, okay? So, the children of Israel saw this thing. They said to one another, what is it? Okay, what do you think it is? Guess? What is this stuff? Manna, right? Now, if they were Malay, they probably like, look, the bread! And someone goes, manna. Okay, cheesy, corny joke. Last one of the year, right? Okay, so anyway, that wasn't how they named the thing, but you know. But Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. So God performs this amazing miracle, alright? Rains bread, birds show up, you know, I mean, they had meat, they had bread that particular day, right? So then Moses says, okay, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, let every man gather it according to each one's need. One omer for each person, according to the number of persons, let every man take for those who are in his tent. And the children of Israel did so, gathered some more and some less. When they measured it by omers, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little and had no lacked. Every man gathered according to each one's need. The first lesson is this, alright? That God's grace is just right for you. Sufficient for you. Do you believe that? That God knows exactly what you need. See, the guy who collected extra just had enough. The guy who collected a little also had enough. Nobody was short of anything. And actually, nobody got extra either, right? Everyone got exactly what they need. Because God knows exactly what you need. Sometimes, we don't even know what we need. We know what we want, but we don't always know what we need. God knows exactly what you need, and God will give you exactly what you need. His grace is sufficient for you. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says, you know, His grace is sufficient for us. Amen? Do you actually believe that God's grace is sufficient for you? Because, you know, if you don't, you're going to be worried and anxious, right? You look to a year, 2016, what will happen in 2016, you know? Will One Punch Man get punched, you know? I mean, whatever that is. Thing I don't know, right? Episode 12 just came out, okay, never mind. Right? What will happen in 2016? Now listen. Whatever happens in 2016, whether it's a big mountain or a small mountain, do you think God's grace will be sufficient? It will be sufficient. It will be exactly sufficient, right? Because whatever it is that you don't know, God already knows, alright? So first thing, not One Punch Man, but first thing is, God's grace is sufficient for you, alright? Okay, read on a little bit more. And Moses said, okay, let no one leave any of it till morning. So, they were collecting all this manna, this bread stuff, right? Do not leave it until the morning. Notwithstanding, meaning that, in spite of having been told that, right, they did not heed Moses. You know, this is human nature. Sometimes they tell them don't do, but die also they must do it. Isn't it? I mean, you think about it, right? You tell them not to do something, but they just have to go and do the thing. All right. Some of them left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. Okay, so what happened? They kept the manna overnight. And in the morning, they're thinking, ah, okay, you know, maybe today, yesterday, I collected extra. No extra. Okay? In the morning, the thing had become rotten. Maggots were coming out of the thing, you know what I mean? It was like some horror movies. Just all the worms all over the place. And it smelled badly. And of course, there was no hiding it. Because Moses was walking past the tent and... No. You guys, did you keep some of that manna overnight? And, you know, God knows, alright? So anyway... What do we learn from this? This is the second lesson here. That the grace of God for you has to be new every morning. You cannot depend on what God did for you last year to sustain you for the next year. You understand this? Right? You cannot count on what God did for you last week, last month, or even yesterday. It will become rotten by morning. Your decision to follow God is a decision that you have to make every moment, every minute, every day. Right? Just because you decided to follow God 5 years ago means very little today if you're not making the same decision again and again and again. So you following God is like manna. You can't keep it overnight. Right? You have to make sure in a new morning you make that decision over again and make it fresh so that God's grace in your life is fresh. Amen? Amen. Are you following me, guys? All right? So you are young, okay? You're young, but you still need to renew it. Otherwise, you know, say Christian attitude, sometimes a bit like diapers. If you don't keep changing it, it becomes smelly, right? And some of us smell, okay? Turn to your neighbor and sniff a bit and see whether it got smell or not, okay? Because some of us, if you don't renew it, you're going to start smelling and you'll breed maggots, right? It'll be breed worms. So please make sure, right, that your manna, what you're getting from God, let me just believe me, yesterday's manna is not good enough for today. It's not good. However much you had yesterday, today is a brand new day. And, you know, as we go over to the new year, 2016, it's a brand new year. You're going to have new manna for the new year. What God did yesterday, we thank God for, but it's not going to be sufficient for today. Okay, so anyway, that's what they did. You know, someone kept and they got found out and Moses kind of got angry with them. So, verse 21, they gathered in every morning, every man according to his need. And when the sun became hot, it melted. Alright? Verse 22, and so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread. Two omers for each one. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses, okay, we collected double. But here's a problem, right? You collected double for 2 days, but the manna can only last how long? 1 day, alright? So, how are they going to do this? Well, Moses said to them, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains to be kept until the morning. Verse 24, so they laid it up till morning, and Moses commanded, and it did not stink. Nor were there any worms in it. So God did a miracle in order to preserve this. Okay, a couple of things happened. On the sixth day, on the seventh day, they know. Okay, Sabbath hasn't arrived yet. This is actually the very first time in the Bible that it talks about Sabbath, right? But the seventh day, the Sabbath hasn't arrived yet. Okay, because we are thinking about Sabbath. And on the sixth day, they will have to do something. They collect twice as much. They don't know if it will last. They don't know if it's going to like turn into worms, you know. But they kind of... They had to take it on faith, actually. Right? They had to take it on Moses' word that it will last. And they collected twice as much, they've got twice as much ready, and the next day, according to the word of God, it did not rot. Now that's the third lesson here, and that's really the lesson of entering into the rest of God. You see, a lot of people think Sabbath is about cannot do work. Let me tell you, that is not what Sabbath is about. Sabbath is about trusting God. When God says it will not rot, well, the question is, do you trust God that it wouldn't rot, right? But some people think, oh, I don't know, man, maybe it will rot, right? When God tells us something, and keep in mind, this, you have to trust, faith precedes the promise of God. You understand? You got to trust God first, and then you will see the plan of God in your life. Now listen, I know that God has a plan for every single one of you. Right? God has a plan. It's a good plan. He says so. There is good plans for you. But here's the thing most young people don't understand. They think that just because God has a plan for my life, I'm going to see it. Well, guess what? I got bad news for you. Just because God has a plan for you, doesn't mean you see it. Because so often, God's plan for your life gets aborted as a result of the lack of faith and the lack of obedience in our life. So the third lesson really is this, right? That faith and obedience precedes God's plan for you. If, you know, just because you come to church and you love to sing songs, doesn't actually say a lot. Even if you cry a bit, you know, when you feel so moved by God, cry buckets of tears, right? Doesn't mean very much. Without faith and obedience, God's plan for your life can still be aborted, no matter who you are. Even for me, right? So you understand this. First of all, God's grace is sufficient for you. Is it? Yeah, it is sufficient. Second of all, you need to have fresh grace every day. You got to make your relationship with God fresh. 2016 come, 2015 over already. It's history already, right? And you got to kind of like, you got to have something new. But third of all, if you really want to see, you really want to grow, you are serious about God, and this whole thing coming to church is not just a game and just sort of like my parents made me come here, right? You are serious about being a disciple of Jesus. You are thinking as a young man, as a young woman, you say, you know what, I'm serious about following God, okay? Wherever that path leads me, well, here's the thing. You're going to have faith and obedience. You got to obey. Well, these guys, they were told not to do certain things, to do certain other things, but they didn't do it. In verse 24, all right, verse 25. So Moses says, eat that today, for today the Sabbath, today you will not find it in the field. So the seventh day, they couldn't find it. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. Verse 27, get this, turn your neighbor and say, please don't let this be you. Okay? Verse 27. Now it happened, okay, after all those things said, miracle, aquila, manna, and all this stuff. Verse 27. Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day, right? Together, but they found none. I mean, what is wrong with these people, man? Huh? You tell them don't go already. They still must go, right? I mean, this, I guess they're not very smart. Nah. But I sometimes people, how many of you have seen a cat with a laser pointer? Yeah, how many of you have cats at home? You have cats at home? Anyone here got cats at home? You're dog people, right? Let me tell you, I don't like cats, I like dogs. Huh? But I had a cat at home. Cats, okay, got this thing with laser pointers. When you point a laser pointer, the cat just goes bananas, okay? Just chase the pointer all over the place. It's very fun, you don't have to do anything, you just sit there, zoom, 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 and like laser, you know, like lightsaber, okay? So the cat will just chase all over the room, blah, blah, blah. It's fun, and you know, the cat never learns, you know? You turn off, then the cat will suddenly, what happened to the thing, right? You turn on again, why? It's very amusing, okay? You can do that for hours. But you know what? Some humans are just like cats. Huh? They just cannot learn, right? I mean, you just do it for so many times, you get it wrong, and they don't ever learn. These guys were just like that. Now, I trust today that you as young people are smarter than this, all right? You're smarter than the children of Israel. You're certainly smarter than a cat, right? When you hear these things, you already know the answer. You know what's on the final exam. So study for it. You know it's going to come out, right? So this is what happens. They go out against what they were told. And, you know, sure enough, they didn't find anything. Now God says to Moses, verse 28, how long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore he gives you on a sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Don't go anywhere, right? Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. So you get this. Sabbath rest has got to do with obeying God and trusting God that God's word is sufficient. It's not just about don't do things, right? The reason they are not supposed to do anything was because they are supposed to trust God. And that's why back in verse 4 where you started reading this, God says, you know, I'm going to give them this manna, but I'm going to test them whether they will walk in my law. So the Jubilee, beyond a year of favor, and some people will tell you that it's a fantastic year of favor because it is, beyond a year of celebration, beyond a year of doing good things for neighbors, ultimately comes down to this one thing, God testing our faithfulness. This is not about whether God is faithful or not. We know God is faithful. This is about whether you are faithful or not. You know what I mean? We sing this song, He is faithful, right? We all know God is faithful. Of course God is faithful, right? The question is not whether God is faithful. The question is whether you, as young people, whether you are faithful. Whether when God tells you to do something, you do something, right? So how should we go on? Well, I want to close with this. Actually, how much time do I have? Okay, never mind. I'm going to close with this little passage from 2 Samuel chapter 23. All right, I love this bit because, you know, it's a really exciting story here. That David, at the end of his life, David is going to die, he's old now. He begins to talk, okay? He likes talking. And he begins to tell about a list of men, a list of warriors. Okay, everyone say warriors. Not warriors, okay? Warriors, okay? Come on, say like, it's like, not warriors, you know. Okay, everyone say warriors. Yeah, you all never watched Star Wars, long. Okay? There's no do or there's no try, huh? Do or do not, right? Yoda. All right. So David is old. He's talking about this men in his life, men who were warriors, who were brave, who were courageous, who accomplished much. And there was a list of 300 men. He kind of broke it down to the top three, the top 30, and then the rest of the 300, right? So he would do this. Now I'm just going to mention one guy, but he's one of the top three. Okay, the first guy's name is Joseph Bashabet. Okay, his short name is Adino. I prefer Adino, right? It's like Adidas' brother. Then the second guy was Eleazar. Eleazar is even better because the full name is Eleazar, the son of Dodo, right? So what a name. I mean, serious, it's verse 9, right? I hope they're showing so that you know I'm not making this up. Sorry, Eleazar, it's in the Bible. But the third guy, I told you, right, is Dodo, right? Hi, Eleazar. Son of Dodo. Run! Okay, so anyway. But the third guy, okay, the third guy is what I want to talk about, is a guy called Shammah in verse 11, alright? It says, after him was Shammah, the son of Agi the Herer, right? Agi, you know, I don't know how you actually pronounce that, but the Philistines had gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils, right? So here was, they were at, in the heat of a battle. So on one side you have the Israelites, okay, and of course Shammah was there, okay, with Israel. And on the other side there was this troop of Philistines, army of Philistine soldiers, and they were on this red bean sort of like plot of land, right? Lentils, that's what it is, this kidney beans sort of thing. And it says here, so the people fled before the Philistines. So when the Israelite soldiers, they saw the Philistines, presumably they were outnumbered or out weaponized, right? They ran. All of them ran away. But, get verse 12. But he, meaning Shammah, stationed himself in the middle of the field and defended it. Okay, I want you to think for a while. For a moment, alright? Indulge me. Pretend you are Shammah. Everyone say Shammah. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are Shammah. Okay, now pretend you're Shammah, alright? You're standing in this middle of this red bean field. You look behind you, all your buddies, they are gone. Okay? You can't even see the shadows anymore. You see them further down there, they're running. And while they're running, they're turning around to you, Shammah! Runna! You know? So, you know what I mean? So you're thinking, and then you look back to this side, what do you see? You see the whole Philistine troops bearing down on you with their weapons and what they have, right? They're bare. Okay, now you're Shammah, right? What is going through your mind? What would you be thinking about? You'd be thinking about, later on I eat what for dinner. You wouldn't be thinking that, right? What would you be thinking about? You would be trying to process a lot of input at the same time, right? One input would be your friends, Shammah, are you crazy? You know? Kama, you know? So, I mean, whatever it is, you know, so you got one input, your friend. Are you going to listen to your friends? Right? That's one big question. Second of all, you think about, you know, you're probably doing a bit of math here, okay? One person, 55 person, 155, okay? And your common sense and experience is telling you, Shammah, Runna, you know? I mean, basically, that's what your experience, this, you're not gonna, look, how many ways can you die, okay? They could chop off your head, you know, spear you, maybe they will decide to torture you a little bit, right? Maybe you might become maimed, or maybe they didn't totally kill you, but they chop off all your limbs. I mean, all these things are coming up to your mind, and your imagination is just exploding, and you're imagining every possible scenario. What other things? Well, maybe your heart
is talking to you. Actually, your heart is not talking to you. It's jumping out. Right? And it's like, fear is talking to you. Say, Shama, die lah. Right? You're going to die. You're going to die. Right? So all these voices, and of course, the enemy is telling you lah. Right? Enemy, you wait there. Don't run lah. You know? Right? I'm coming for you, Uncle Sima. Very simple. We start paying. Obviously, you never go to cinema, right? You won't know this. But they are coming. You're hearing all these voices. What would you think you would do? What do you think you do? Honestly, seriously, what would you do? Run, law, right? Doesn't take a genius, right? Because all these voices are unanimously telling you with one unequivocal suggestion, that is, run. But you know what the Bible says he did? He didn't run. He didn't go anywhere. In fact, he did nothing. Now, how many of you know that sometimes it takes a lot more faith to do nothing than to do something? You realize that? Because humans, we always want to do something. When something goes wrong, you want to react. You want to do something. Well, you know, Shama that day, he stayed put. He held his ground. He was, if you like, rested. Right? You see, that kind of rest, it's not the kind of don't do work kind of rest, go home, play Xbox. It's not the kind of rest. Right? This is a different kind of rest. This is the sort of rest that comes when you stop listening to all these other voices. Right? When you stop looking at the enormity of the problem before you. When you stop looking at, you know, what everyone else is doing. When you start listening to God. Okay? When you listen to God, you say, you know what? This is crazy. But David, my boss, fought Goliath. Okay? He's thinking, Goliath was huge, David was small, but David stood his ground. If God can do it for David, God can do it for me. I am Shama. Right? Right? Obviously, the bad guys are always trained under the wrong people, always lose one, alright? Alright? You understand what I'm saying? Now, what are you going to do? See, you are actually Shama. Because you're standing here, in the middle of this red bean field, or a red seed field, right? All these red seeds here. You're facing 2016. You're going to make some decisions about 2016, which is only like a couple of days away, right? You're not entirely sure what's coming in 2016, but you can know, you can already hear that some of it is not going to be easy. Some of it is going to be bad, right? So, you're going to have to make a decision. Are you going to listen to your friends? Are you going to listen to your fear, your emotions, your feelings? And some of us, you know, we listen too much to our feelings, right? Are you going to listen to the enemy's voice telling you how incapable you are? How defeated you are? Or are you ultimately going to trust God? You see, trust is easy to sing about. It's easy to talk about. It's even easy to write about. But when it comes down to it, when enemies are coming at you and everyone else is gone, that is when you know whether you are a man or a boy. Or actually, whether you're a woman or a girl, right? So that is really the important lesson I want to talk to you today. Because, you know, you're never too young to be a warrior for God. Okay? Never too young. Age is not the determinant of whether you can be a warrior. Actually, your responsibility, your faith, your obedience, that is what determines whether or not you'll be one of those people who hold fast your ground. Now, what happens? What happens when Shama, I mean, you know, this is the cliffhanger lah. He holds his ground, he's standing fast, and the swords meet. He has to fight, okay? I mean, they didn't just drop down before they reach him. Like, you know, Darth Vader. Darth Vader doesn't do anything. Nothing touches him, you know. Laser bolts, you know, everything goes off, right? Unfortunately, this is not Star Wars, okay? This is like old time wars. So, he had to fight. It was tiring, I'm sure. So many of them, right? But listen to what it says in verse 12. He stationed himself in the middle of the field. He defended it and killed the Philistines. So, the Lord brought about a great victory. Everyone say great victory. We all love the great victory at the end, right? We all love how the enemies are so dumb that after the first Death Star blew up, they built a second Death Star even bigger just to have it blow up again. You know what I mean? Okay. They don't learn, okay? Don't be like them, okay? But listen, God had, now I want you to think about this for a second, right? The Bible says God had a great victory. Let me ask you, when did God decide to give Shama a great victory? Was it like before or after? Actually before, right? God knows everything. God already had in mind a plan for Shama to have a great victory. a plan for his life, a good plan for his life. But listen, what happens if Shammah had run? Any more great victory? No. So same thing for you guys. God has plans for your life. God has called you to the highest calling, to be his disciples, right? To be warriors for God. God has a great plan for you, not just to be like anybody else in Singapore, not just like the rest of the young people in Singapore. God has a plan for you. However, as great as that plan can be, it is predicated, it is dependent upon the fact of whether or not you trust God or you're going to listen to everything else. You see, Jubilee is like this, Sabbath is like this. It sounds like something easy to do, but actually, it comes down to, are you actually going to really trust God? Or is this just lip service only, we say only, right? So today, you know, as we come to the end of the year, as you think about a new year, you have to be putting yourself in the shoes of this Shammah. God has a victory for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, God has a victory for you. Okay? You might think, oh, Pastor, how can God have a victory for me? You know, my girlfriend just dumped me last week. You know, I mean, whatever the case may be, right? Listen, God's grace is sufficient for you, right? Right? God knows what you need. Maybe God knows you don't need that guy or that girl or whatever that thing is, right? God knows you don't need those things. But God's grace is sufficient for you. So God has a plan for you. God's grace is sufficient for you. It all comes down to whether you trust God. Whether you're going to obey God in moving forward. So today I want to put this to you, right? I want to seriously say, none of you here are too young to be God's warrior. None of you, not a single one of you. Age is never the problem. The problem is faith. The problem is our willingness to take up responsibility and say, you know what, I'm going to be the one. Everyone else run, I'm going to be the one who stays put. I'm going to not turn to the left, not turn to the right. I will be rested in God. I'm going to allow God to guide me through to his great plan, great victory for your life. Would you close your eyes right now? Dear Lord, we want to thank you for, you know, this wonderful year that's gone by. And Lord, actually, we want to thank you for the wonderful year by faith that's coming our way. Sure, Lord, there will be troops of Philistines, there will be Goliaths, there will be giants, there will be mountains that we need to cross, maybe oceans that we need to cross, maybe places that we have to walk through that are not so easy. Lord, as we look to all those things, we need to know just one thing, that your grace is in fact sufficient for us. However big the mountain or small the mountain may be, your grace is sufficient for us. But Lord, we also ask that you will renew and refresh our walk, our decision, our choice for you this day and every day. Early on, Lord, we had a word about, you know, this storm that's coming and just kind of tore up the good plants such that only some are left behind that were able to bear fruit. What can we do? We can make a choice. We can make a choice to trust God, to be anchored in the promise, in the word of God, in obedience to what God has told us to do. We can make that choice. Friends, you can make that choice today. And last of all, Lord, we understand that you have great plans for each and every one of us. But those plans, however wonderful they may be, can be aborted. They can fail when our faith fails. So Lord, today, may you cause each one of us to have this warrior spirit arise in each one of us, like Shammah, like Eleazar, like Adino, and all these mighty men of David. Lord, let us arise, not to be children, but to be men and women in the kingdom of God. So Father, I pray for every one of us here, Lord. May your anointing, your spirit be upon them. Cause them to rise out of their childish immaturity to become men and women, not restrained by their age, not constrained by their age, but because their faith is great, they are able to become the men and women that you want them to be. So Lord, bless all of us as we enter into this new year. In the name of Jesus, we ask and we pray. Amen, amen, amen.
Come church, let's just stand as we sing this closing song together, okay? I'm going to declare that forever God is faithful. Thank you, Lord, a God of
This service tonight, we're closing the last service of this year. Let us remember how God has been so faithful in our lives, in the lives of our loved ones, and even how God has been faithful, right, to us as a nation. And truly, He has been so good to us, right? This year, Jubilee year, there's so many things that we as a nation have felt, you know, significant events have come by and all that, but we know the one constant in our lives is actually God. Amen? Right? So why don't we just close our eyes right now as we just thank the Lord for being faithful to us. And as we do that, let's also just commit ourselves to tell the Lord, say that, Lord, thank you. That it's because of your faithfulness that we can be faithful to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just want to commit, Lord, all that is ahead of us into your hands. We thank you that when we look at the new year with no doubt new challenges, we can be the ones like Shama who will stand firm, not to be afraid of problems or challenges. Because we know that throughout our lives, not just this year, that you have been faithful to all of us. So as we go forth from this place, Holy Spirit, we ask that you continue to speak to us, to show us the many different things that we can be so thankful for. Lord, we offer up all these thanks and praise unto you. You see every heart that's just thanking you for all the good things that you have done in their lives. And even for the blessing of your very presence in those times where maybe our circumstances are bad, but you have remained faithful. You are that constant in our lives. So thank you, Lord. We cannot thank you enough for your faithfulness, but we do want to say how grateful we are to you. And as an act of our gratitude, we commit in our little ways, Lord, to be faithful to you. We are not as faithful as you are, but yet we also recognize through our prayers and through your Holy Spirit in us that you can help us to be faithful and not faithless, to commit ourselves, our lives to you entirely, O God. So this is our prayer, this is our desire. We look forward to the day as we look back in another year's time that we can say that, Lord, you have been faithful to us even for the coming year, because you are the one who helped us to be faithful to you, God. And all God's people say, amen, amen. Shall we just give God a big hand again? You know, and I just want to encourage all of you, you know, as you go forth from this place, know that the Lord is with you for the new year ahead. And probably not going to see you over the turn of the year. So before you go, just want to wish you a happy new year. Why don't you just help me also, right? Just turn to your neighbors and just wish them a happy new year. Right? A new year where you can continue to expect, you know, God's goodness into our lives. Alright, God bless you, and we'll see you next year.